So the title of the message is The Blessings of Fathers. And I just want to remind you this morning, fathers, of three things that the Bible says about fatherhood or about fathers. There's many things that the Bible says, but let me just spell out three things very quickly. Number one, the Bible tells us that fathers are the progenitors. Now, that's a big word, isn't it? That they're progenitors. In other words, it is the father that is recognized as the giver of life and the source of life. God is the father. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham is the progenitor. He's seen as the one who is the source of life. Now, ladies, we know biologically that it takes two to tango. And don't look at me daggers when I say it is the father who is the source of life. Because you know how much I esteem you and womanhood. But you won't get the balance today, okay? Today's about fathers. And the Bible reminds us that fathers are the progenitors. They are the source of life. Now, our culture has taken this and has seen it only in one way. Our culture has seen this only in the sense that a man's courage is somehow linked to the fact that he is a progenitor, and the man's courage is somehow equated to his manhood or his genitalia. I think one of the words that's used is the word kahunas. And so when our culture uses the word kahunas, it's talking about the courage of a man, and it's a very specific reference to his manhood. But I want to say to you this morning, there's two other implications that are more important than that. One is this: the fact that a man is a progenitor of his family reminds us of the great dignity that there is in manhood and in fatherhood. And currently we are facing, in our culture, the undermining and the diminishing of fatherhood. And so we've got all sorts of forces and all sorts of attacks coming against fatherhood. But I want to say to you, fathers, that because the Bible says that you are the progenitor of your family, there is great dignity in that, and there is great esteem. And a father was held in great esteem. A father was honored. But the second thing I want to say with respect to that is this, that there is great responsibility that comes with that. There go my glasses. So the responsibility is this. The Bible says that God visits the sin of the fathers to the children. Now, it's not always the case that he does that, and it's not always the case that God's punishment comes on children because of the fathers, and sometimes it's the reverse of that. So it's not always the sense that, oh, well, my father is sinful, so I'm punished because of my father's sin. Sometimes that's turned around the other way, and sometimes the Bible says, hey, actually, no, it's got nothing to do with the sin of the father or the children. Yet the big picture is this, that as a father, you're not only a person of great dignity, but you're also the responsible person. And you know that because someone's always going around the house saying, who's responsible for this? And it's usually the father. And you carry, in all seriousness, you carry a great sense of responsibility. And one day, you'll need to stand before the Lord Jesus and give account for your fatherhood. And I'm so glad that we stand before a gracious Jesus in that moment. So the Bible says, dads, that we are the progenitor of our family. We are highly esteemed and we're very responsible. The second thing the Bible says, and I want to remind you about fatherhood, is this, that the father is the one who conveys to his children the blessing of God. And so we're reminded in the Bible, aren't we, of Jacob, who before he went to be gathered with his family, lined up all of his children, and one by one his sons, one by one he blessed his sons. Now, if you read that in the Old Testament, some of the blessing was quite good, some of it was not good. And what Jacob was doing, and this is the role of a father, Jacob was conveying to his sons the destiny of his sons, the destiny of God for his sons. So, fathers, we are charged with the responsibility of blessing our children. Now, when we think about blessing, we always think about stuff. You know, I want to bless my children, and so I bless them with this, I provide that, I give them this, whatever it might be. But Dad, you know as well as I do that somehow the resources run out, don't they? And if you are only going to bless your children with the stuff that you've got that you can provide for them, then eventually the blessing is going to run out. So what do you do in that scenario? Well, what you do is this, you point them towards someone whose resources will never run out. And when you convey the blessing of God to your children, the best thing that you can do is put before them front and square the Father heart of God in whom they will always be blessed. And the blessing will never run out. He will always be their provider. I know what it's like as a dad. You wish you could. Why can't we? I wish I could do this. And the best thing I can do is point them again towards God, who will always be a faithful provider for my children. Now, there's one more aspect of blessing, and it's this, that as a father, blessing your children means that you are charged with the responsibility of conveying to them God's love. And you do that by conveying to them your love. You know, it's all very vague to say to your children, I bless you. But the way that you convey that is to love them and convey your love. I'm not sure in recent days how much my youngest son knew that I loved him. But about 7 weeks ago, he knew for sure how much I loved him. He saw it in my tears. He heard it in my distress. And he heard it in the one simple sentence, "Son, we're going home." And in that moment, and I knew, because he broke down and I broke down, and in that moment I knew how much he knew that I loved him. And that's not something you keep in the tank and reserve for those moments. That's something that we convey to our children every day. I love you. And in that, you're conveying to them ultimately the love of God. The third thing, and this is where we come back to our text, the third thing that we are to be and to do as a blessing to our children is that we are to bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now, we might have that photo, I think. There's many things. Who's that? There's many things that. There's a reason for that photo. There's many things that we can train our children in, and there's many things that we can't train our children in as fathers. The Bible says this. This is very challenging. The Bible says, bring your children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. But before it says that, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. So it seems to me that the opposite of exasperating your children is actually teaching your children the things that they really need to know in life, right? And there's many things that as fathers we can teach our children, but if we don't teach them that main thing, we're going to exasperate them. And the reason for the photo, and if you haven't worked it out, that's me. And I'm about 17. And I know I haven't changed a bit. And that Land Rover, by the way, is nearly bolt for bolt the exact Land Rover that I'm in the process of restoring. No, I'm not having a midlife crisis. We're not here to talk about my midlife crisis. But you know who's missing in that photo? My dad. My dad never taught me mechanics. And my dad is missing, and that's a good thing. I only ever saw my dad under the bonnet of a car twice. And on one of those occasions, there were flames coming out of the carburetor. Now, those of you who know mechanics a little bit know that there's only two ways that that can happen. I suspect the way that it happened was that my father put all the coil leads, all the spark plug leads, the opposite way. And it created a huge backfire, and it came out of the carburetor, and my father comes out from underneath the car with singed eyebrows and singed everything. And those of you who knew a little bit about my father know his propensity for misadventure. I inherited something from him. But he's not in the photo, and he didn't teach me how to be a mechanic. Am I exasperated? No. My father didn't teach me how to budget money. Did that exasperate me? No. There are so many things my father did not teach me. But you know what my father did teach me? He taught me a love for the Word of God. And every night we would open the Bible, and my father would read at least one chapter of the Bible. And as kids, we had to be listening, because after he spoke the last sentence, we had to repeat that last sentence. And you never knew where he was going to stop, so you had to listen. And my father taught me, with all of his failings, and we all fail as fathers, my father taught me a love for the Word of God. Second thing my father taught me was he taught me a love for the church. So my father was an elder in the church, and we would go to church twice on a Sunday, because that's what you did. And my father worked hard, two jobs, you know the drill, trying to keep seven kids fed. And so my father worked two jobs. He was always tired, but he was a session elder at the church. And so he would, on Sunday nights, we would go to church, and the elders would sit alongside of the pastor who was preaching. My father would sit and promptly fall asleep. And he, you know, as an elder, he loved the church, but he fell asleep through the sermon. He's the patron saint of anyone who's ever fallen asleep through a sermon. No one here, of course, ever does that. But you could be excused to. I really don't mind if you fall asleep, because church meets different needs for different people. And if you need to have a break. But my father taught me a great love for the church. And the third thing my father taught me was this. He taught me about great dedication to his wife and family. And some of you might say, well, is that actually the training and the instruction of the Lord? It is. It's part of it. It's part of it. You know, you exasperate your children when you do not teach them what matters the most. I don't care that I'm a dodgy mechanic. I don't care that, you know, I can budget money, but it's a bit of a struggle. I don't care about the things I don't know that my father didn't teach me. I'm not an exasperated son, because he taught me the things that matter the most. He taught me the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the Bible is full of instruction on all kinds of things, but all of it relates back to the gospel of Jesus. Imagine having a conversation with your son or my son. You know, my son says to me, Dad, I've got a bad temper. Got a really bad temper. And I say, I know, son, you get that from your mother. What do I do with that? I mean, that's a lifestyle issue. So what do I do with that? I say, well, you know, the Bible can help you with that, son. The Bible teaches us that if we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, then he will moderate our temper. And he will forgive us our sin. And every life issue that you want to put on the table can relate back to the central truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we exasperate our children when we don't teach them that, because that's what carries them through life. Fathers, let me encourage you. You are the progenitor of your family. You are the source of their life. You are the one who conveys blessing. And you are the one who teaches and instructs them in the ways of the Lord. And may you be blessed in that, and may you be empowered. And I want you to stand as a father. Stand with me. and I want to pray for you. All of you fathers, come on your feet. Fathers, grandfathers, if you can stand, let me pray for you. Let me pray against the attack of our culture. The feminist muppets and everyone else that wants to decry and diminish the role of fathers. We stand against that and we remember the high calling of the Word of God to be dads, fathers, grandfathers. Let's pray. Father, this morning, may your presence and your power fall on us afresh as fathers. May we just glean from these few words a real sense of the importance of fatherhood and hold that close and hold it tight and treasure it. May we feel the esteem and the responsibility of our role and take that seriously. May we be given creative ways to be conveyors of blessing to our children. And may we instruct them in the things that really matter, so as we don't exasperate them and turn them from you, but we actually teach them exactly how good you are and always point them to you as the ultimate source of blessing. And may we just rely every day on your Holy Spirit to be and to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you sit down, I challenge you this. Make sure that by the end of the day, each one of your children know exactly how much you love them. Do it before the end of the day. Don't leave that in the tank. Amen? Happy days. Let's finish as we sing.